This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Julia Trastramy from Wine GB. How are you, Julia?
I'm very well indeed. It's great to talk to you again, Chris, after so long.
Yes, well, it's only been 3 years since we've had you on the show, and I must admit, you are probably the most regular person on the show that we've ever had.
Oh, it's fantastic to hear. There we go. Up the English wine industry. Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, it's a UK wine show, so we do cover it a little bit. So what we're going to talk about this week is I want to talk a wee bit about English Wine Week, because English Wine Week's coming up. The dates are the 19th of June to the 27th of June. So that's 2 weekends starting this weekend.
That's right.
And I was having a little bit of a look around, and some of my notes that I saw was that Bob Lindo started English Wine Week in 1995. So it's been going for a while. Is that something you're aware of, or have I got my notes all wrong?
I actually recall the meeting. It was Bob Lindo and another wonderful guy who very sadly is no longer with us. But no, Bob was the one that had this inspired idea. He said, look, we can't, as an industry, afford lots and lots of advertising, but why don't we set aside a week where we can just encourage people to go and visit a vineyard, buy some wine direct from the cellar door, or, you know, those of us that sell into the retail or the restaurant sector, let's encourage them to do something. And if we all do that during 1 week, we'll create critical mass. And it's kind of really, it's taken on a life of its own. It's absolutely fantastic.
So what is the objective of English Wine Week from your point of view? Is it literally critical mass?
I think for me, it's twofold. One is to continue to spread awareness. And, you know, thanks to lovely people like you and all our friends in the media, they talk about English Wine Week and it just raises the profile and encourages people to go out and buy. That's the second objective, which is just to help encourage sales of English wines. And actually, what's happened in the last couple of years, which I think works really well, because we are, of course, a wine industry in Great Britain. So that's England and Wales. And the Welsh vineyards have got their own week. So that's just completed. And that works brilliantly because, you know, they can group together and they're doing a whole load of stuff with help from the Welsh government, which is fantastic because they've got a drinks cluster. But it means that English Wine Week as well can be all about English wines. And that's fantastic.
Lovely. Okay. So can you talk about some of the activities that are going on? Because this show is going out on the Friday. It starts on the Saturday. And I'm hoping that some of the listeners will be able to take some information and go off to their local or vineyard or whatever. So is there any sort of activities that you think would be quite good?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think what we've noticed, and we may talk about this a little bit later, because obviously we've all been through quite a year of it. And what we noticed last year, which has been continuing into this year, is it's as much about visiting vineyards and buying direct from the cellar door or going to a retailer as it is about buying online and just getting the word spread out through social media so that people are talking about it as well. So I've noticed this year we've got quite a lot of online promotions going on. So starting with some of our friends in the retail sector, we've got Waitrose and the Wine Society, and they've put together a really neat package, some lovely wines in a box that people can order. And we've actually got events going on both online and in real life, if I can put it like that. So there's a wonderful thing going on down in Kent, which I'm really excited about, and I'm going to try and get down there. So Fenwick's in Canterbury, there's going to be a little bit of an English wine takeover in the way of two pop-up bars and tasting areas run by our friends at Cork, which is one of the online retailers that specialise in English wines, English and Welsh wines. And they're going to be doing a series of events and tastings throughout the week down at Fenwick in Canterbury, and you can buy and taste before you buy as well. We've got some lovely things going on at vineyards where they're doing some specific masterclasses and tastings. It's all on the Wine GB website, so have a look at the events pages on the Wine GB website.
What is the website, Wine GB website?
It's winegb.co.uk.
So it's an easy one.
Yeah, exactly. And the first thing you get hit with is a great big banner for English Wine Week, so you hopefully won't get lost. And I tell you a couple of other really exciting things that are happening is we've got such a growing tourism sector, which is fabulous. And I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later. But we've got a couple of new wine trails that have been launched in time for English Wine Week. Mm-hmm. So we've got Wiltshire Wine Trail down in Wiltshire, obviously, three wonderful vineyards, and I'm sure there'll be more joining them. And then we've got the Yorkshire Wine Trail, which I'm really excited about. There's such a lot of activity in that part of the world. And of course, there's a great food hub up in Yorkshire as well. So they've all got together and they've launched the Yorkshire Wine Trail up there. So we're so thrilled that they're using English Wine Week as the, you know, the launch pad for it.
What is a wine trail?
It's kind of a a platform where you can see what vineyards are operating in the area, and you can possibly map out a trail. You know, mm-hmm. So if you say, right, I'm going to be up in Yorkshire that weekend, where can I go? And they've actually got a really neat listing of the vineyards in a different part. Let's face it, Yorkshire's a pretty large county, but they sort of grouped themselves into the sort of smaller sub areas, if you like, and pointing you in the direction of some of the top towns and cities up there too. So it's worth checking that out. But we've got these other lovely clusters, if you can call them that, of vineyards in Surrey and Hampshire and Kent and Sussex, and they're all doing stuff together collaboratively, and it's great. So it's worth checking out their websites too.
Okay, that's good. Is there many wineries up in Yorkshire? I think what's his name? Oh, I've forgotten his name. I interviewed him years ago.
George Bowden at Leventhorpe.
Leventhorpe, that's the one. George at Leventhorpe. That's right.
Absolutely.
He was the only one I was aware of years ago. How many are up there now?
No, I think you're into the teens, you know, about 15 or so, maybe coming up to 20. And there are about sort of 10 or so of them that are involved in the Yorkshire Wine Trail at the moment. And there's some really exciting stuff going on up there. New operations, family-run operations. You know, there are some younger members in the family that are really sort of driving things through. It's very exciting, actually. And you know, it's, as with everywhere in the UK, it's all a question of sort of where you plant your vines. You know, if you've got yourself a good spot, and there are plenty up there, I'm sure, as George probably told you, you know, in the story of his vineyard.
He was quite keen on the fact he had a hill that created a rain shadow for him, which that was quite a few years ago. It's probably about 15 years ago that we interviewed him.
Oh, fantastic. He noticed, actually, when he was, I think one of the things that propelled him into actually planting a vineyard, so he drove past this vineyard every day, and he noticed that even on the coldest of days, where everywhere else was white with frost, this one plot didn't seem to catch the frost, and it was very well sheltered due to its sort of, you know, the slope on the hill and the woods and things around it. And actually, he grows apricots and things at the top end of the vineyard. And he then discovered that actually there was a Roman encampment there. Now, the Romans, let's face it, did teach us a thing or two. And they, even back then, they found out where the warmest places were, even then, when they were marching up to Hadrian's Wall, I'm guessing.
Nice.
So it continues.
Okay. There's a couple of wine trails, which is all quite good. You've mentioned Cork as an online retailer. What other retailers are quite strong on English wine? Because I did see a few specialists.
Yeah, well, we're actually putting out, I think, a really positive story this week, which hopefully will be out there when this goes live. A number of retailers have reported some really fantastic year-on-year sales of English wines. Given that this is what happened last year, is phenomenal. So Waitrose remain so devoted and supportive of our industry, but actually, M&S and Majestic, they too put out some really positive, you know, quite high numbers of how their wines are. In some cases, actually, in still wines now too, which is great. The Wine Society reported a 200% hike in their sales last year, I think led by still rosés. So, you know, a lot of them are coming out. It's fantastic. And actually, I remember last year we saw a really positive report from Sainsbury's in their BWS report, and they said how the demand for, you know, the local produce was great. And actually, local is a quite a strong and very positive word for us now. A lot of people have been, you know, turning to local and recognizing what's produced on the doorstep, which is, you know, it's fantastic, particularly since this summer is going to be the staycation summer, I think, too.
Yes, actually, a lot of people will be staying home, and there's a good chance to visit those wineries where they're staying, because they are scattered, as you say, Yorkshire, all the way down, really. Nothing in Scotland. Well, not much in Scotland, if anything.
There's a little bit in Scotland. We haven't, I don't think there's any wine produced just yet, but we do have some vineyards in Scotland, so watch this space. And actually, Wales has increased its hectarage as well. And we've seen a phenomenal rise in hectarage over the last few years. We planted another You know, 1.4 million vines or so. I worked out that actually over the last 5 years, we've planted just under 9 million vines. If you convert that into a planting density of, say, 4,400 vines per hectare, that adds up to, you know, a pretty significant number, which is about 1,970 or so hectares increase in vines in just 5 years alone. Yeah, I mean, I think in 5 years, that represents something like a nearly 70% increase in the planting area. So there's a lot more coming on stream, which is really exciting.
And we'll talk about that later on. Yeah. But I want to just talk a wee bit about maybe some of the wine tourisms, because I remember when I first started doing the UK Wine Show, I went to quite a few English wineries at the stage. And to be honest, it was pretty sad going to visit them. I think Ridgeview had the best layout, and at that stage, it wasn't really much more than a canteen, to be honest. And nice views of the vineyard, but it wasn't particularly well laid out. And I went on this bike ride, the benevolent Le Tour de Estates, a few years ago. I don't know if you know, it was a tour around Sussex.
Absolutely, yeah, I remember that.
It was quite good fun. Oh, actually, I think I saw you there.
I was there. I was at Barney. I think we were there saying hello and yes. Not getting on the bike and chasing you, because I don't think I would have been able to manage that.
But I remember looking at Barney, because I hadn't been to Barney for yonks and yonks and yonks. And they're like a little restaurant there, aren't they? I mean, it's absolutely well situated and set out. You know, you always hear of Chapel Down, and Chapel Down's been reasonably well organized for a while, but Bolney, I was like, oh my god, this is like a proper bit of wine tourism, just like you'd get in New Zealand or Australia or anything like that. In fact, maybe even a bit better than some of those places.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Chris. I think in the last few years we have seen such a phenomenal increase in what wine tourism has to offer in the UK, and they're doing things so brilliantly. And actually, you know, I do urge people to go and visit these vineyards. English Wine Week is a great time to do it, and some are doing some special events, so it's worth checking those out. You know, maybe they might be doing a masterclass or a themed dinner or something. A number of them do that now, because a number of them now have restaurants too. But they're really catering now for the visitor, and you can do everything from obviously guided tour or a self-guided tour. There are quite a few now that have cafes, restaurants, that sort of thing. Wonderful shops where you can taste, beautiful views over the vineyards. Some have got some wonderful accommodation as well. I was down last week at a vineyard in Sussex, Ashling Park, and they've just literally built some lodges so that you can go and stay there, and you're literally next to the vines. And Three Choirs over in Gloucestershire, of course, have done that for many years. We have a Hobbit House in East Sussex. You know, we've got vineyard hotels, we've got all sorts of things going on. So, you know, you really can enjoy the most fantastic experience. And it's all about experience. You know, each one has something very, very different. And some are really quite small, and that's fantastic too, because you're likely to meet the vineyard owner and have a chat with him or her and taste their wines with them and hear their story. And that's, I think, just as inspiring as going to some of the really, really big ones too. So, we see tourism as being a massive growth area over the next few years.
Which vineyards have restaurants? Because not all of them have, only a few of them. So is there any that you can...
Yeah, not all of them do. You're absolutely right. Not all of them do. But Bolney, as you say, Denby's Wine Estate, they've got a hotel and a restaurant. Chapel Down as well. There's Gusbourne. I know they do meals as well. You know, further west, you've got quite a few down in Cornwall and Devon and increasingly Dorset as well. So it's worth checking it out. On the WineGB website, we've got a listing of all our member vineyards, and actually you can, with lots of different sort of possibilities to check. So if you want to go and eat there, or if there's, you know, looking for a place with accommodation or somewhere where there's a picnic area or whatever, you can actually sort them by type. So it's worth doing. And there are some other fantastic websites out there now that do some really good listings of vineyards in England and Wales. So definitely worth having a look out for them.
I noticed one of the things about your wine week, English Wine Week, is you've cunningly lined it up with not only Father's Day, but also the summer solstice as well. So you, on the one hand, you can go out, and then you can go out with your druid mates and your robes later on and have some glass of fizz.
And actually, in a normal year, it also is Glastonbury week as well. Well, this happened quite by chance, because, as you might remember, Chris, you know, English Wine Week has always traditionally been the last week in May, because we wanted to incorporate a bank holiday, so that gave you a little bit of extra time to roam around and explore and discover and all the rest of it. And last year with lockdown, we realized that we couldn't do it in May. So because of that, we thought, okay, well, let's move it. So we moved it by a month into June. And we found that actually June worked really well because there were these other fabulous touch points for celebration, as you said yourself. And we thought, when we were looking at 2021, we thought, actually, do you know what? I think June's going to work really, really well. And yes, we've got the longest day in the year. And then happily Father's Day. Unfortunately, we were, you know, obviously hoping that 21st also represented, you know, the lifting of all restrictions. But people can still go out and about and enjoy the outdoors, which is fantastic. We've actually also got Midsummer's Day. So that's on the 24th. And that's when we'll be announcing the YNGB Awards winners. And I still have this wonderful vision in my mind. We haven't sadly got Glastonbury, but I just love the idea of retailers and vineyards actually all dressing up, putting on some lovely music and flowers in their hair and things. Who knows? It might happen.
maybe for the winter summer solstice. Yeah,
exactly. And actually, don't forget, of course, in June now the vineyards are starting to catch up. We had a pretty cold winter, so everything kind of got slowed down in terms of the vines, you know, starting to come into leaf, but they are now, and I have to say, a month later the vines look so beautiful, and you've got all the promise of what's to come.
Yeah, no, it's probably a much better date actually, June, I would have thought, because the weather's more settled as well. And if you want to go to a vineyard, the weather this weekend's going to be gorgeous from what I can tell. So.
Absolutely. Well, exactly. Long may it continue. And you're absolutely right. And actually, June is much more the start of the summer season as well. And, you know, there's the small matter of some tennis matches going on, I think, as well. So, you know, another good excuse to pop open a bottle of English.
Perfect. All right, Julia, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris, and happy English Wine Week to all.
Excellent.